Lord, as we look now at your word, may it not be just something historical or something for yesterday and yesteryear and something that's not relevant for today. Just as you called Abraham all those years ago, you call us to be your children today. So may we know your call on our lives, and may we respond to that call. Amen. In my younger days, I lived in Tunstall, and I often visited the park. Actually, the truth is, I lived in the park and often visited home, but never mind. In the park, there were 9 rowing boats that people hired for 30-minute sessions. And I used to be quite fascinated by this man who was in charge of these 9 boats. And he'd watch the clock, and he wouldn't allow anyone a second over the time that they'd hired the boat for. And after exactly 30 minutes, he would bellow through his loudspeaker and call in the boat, "Come in, number 9, your time is up." And his piercing voice through the loudspeaker left you in no doubt that your number was up. He'd called you and he wanted a response. I always wondered if this man had any children. If he did, I bet he didn't have any nonsense from them at all. And when he said, "It's bedtime," he wouldn't mean in 30 minutes, not even in 5 minutes. I'm quite sure he would mean, "Bedtime now." Immediately, this instant. I was quite glad, really, that he wasn't my dad. But in fairness to him, when he called, you responded. And so in the passage of scripture from the Old Testament book of Genesis, the Lord was calling Abraham to do something that he would never dream of doing in a month of Sundays, or even in a lifetime. When the Lord makes a call on our lives, he is looking for a response. And he was making a call on Abraham's life in this passage from Genesis chapter 12 that Pauline just read for us. Verse 1, these words. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." So as well as calling Abraham, the Lord gave him at least part of an explanation as to why he had called him. Verse 2, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." Abraham, I'm sure, didn't respond to this call of God on his life by saying, "Oh, I see, I understand now, I've got you." He wouldn't have understood what his Lord, I'm sure, was calling him to. But what he did know is that his Lord was calling him, and that he had to make a response. So Abraham and his wife, together with his father, his brother's family, and his nephew, in fact, all of Abraham's household, they gathered up all their belongings and moved from the place known today as Babylon and set out into the unknown. The Lord was leading Abraham with his family and household towards the land of Canaan. They didn't know why, but in faith they made a response to their God. They only had part of the picture. But Abraham was certain of one thing. He was certain that the call had undoubtedly come from the Lord himself. And although he couldn't understand what he had been called for, he knew that he had to respond. So just when it was the right time, the Lord spoke again, giving Abraham a little more information. "Abraham, I called you to leave your country and go to the land that I will show you. Well, this is where I was leading you to." Abraham had responded in faith to God's call, and he was not going to be disappointed. The Lord spoke again, "To your offspring I will give this land." Well, God's words to Abraham couldn't be plainer. "I have led you here, and here you can stay. This is your land where the children can grow up and their children can grow up." God's promise of land is something very important to the Hebrew people. In a way, I don't believe that we can truly grasp that today. But God's promise was also one of many children to carry on the family name. Something else that was very important to Hebrew culture. And in a later story, God shows Abraham the stars. Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the heavens, Abraham is told. So together, the promise of land and of children constituted a promise of prosperity and a future for Abraham and for his family. But it was also a promise of hope. I'm sure there, like myself, there are times in our lives when we daydream a little about the future. In our younger days, we may dream of whether we will marry and have children, and what work we may be doing, things like that, where we'll be living. But Abraham's future wasn't just a daydream. Abraham's future is a vision and is a promise from God. And these words at the beginning of the 12th chapter of Genesis tells us only the beginning of the journey that Abraham began with God. There is more happening here than just the story of one man's travel across a desert land. So what are we to make of one man's journey across this wild and primitive countryside? What does this story mean to us? And what does it have to say to us? What does Abraham's story tell us about ourselves? Well, as I reflected on this, the following comes to mind. God calls ordinary people. God calls ordinary people. And it contains three very important elements to Abraham's call that I believe speaks directly to us. God calls ordinary people. And God is the active agent in this story. Abraham wasn't searching for God. God called out to Abraham. God began this interaction. God reached out to Abraham and called him to a greater future than what he could provide for himself. So why did God do this? He called Abraham because he wanted to have a relationship with him. God wanted to know him and to be part of his life. Not on a superficial level, but on a deep and personal level. And God wants to have that kind of relationship with each of us today. A relationship that is deep, personal, and meaningful. And if that is to happen, it needs a response from us. So when God shared his plan for Abraham's life, Abraham wasn't the only one that was going to be affected. The promise that God made to him was an unconditional one. The prosperity promised to him doesn't have stipulations to it. He wasn't told that he would receive the land only if he behaved in a certain way or he followed certain rituals. It wasn't a promise made because of some great act that Abraham had performed or because he was such a great person. It was a promise that was made unconditionally, out of the love that God had for him, and also out of the promise that Abraham received through faith and through belief in the one true living God. It was a promise that was made for the future, and not just for Abraham's future. At the moment he was called by God, he was 75 years old and childless. And yet God's promise was that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. Abraham's descendants wouldn't and couldn't become a nation in his own lifetime. So he wasn't the only one to be affected by this promise. The promise affected his family members for generations to come, And that same promise to Abraham has its effect on us today. So why did God give him this promise? It was given because God was looking to the future by seeing to the redemption of the world. God was going to interact with humanity in a new and unique way, with a special purpose that began with Abraham and continued down through his descendants and came to its fullest completion in Jesus Christ. In this story of Abraham, we see a relationship developing and growing between God and a person. A relationship that leads ultimately to the offer of salvation for the rest of the world. So Abraham's story is our story. In the developing and growing of this relationship, we can see a reflection of the beginning of our relationship with God. I can recall God's call on my life quite vividly. Can you do that? It begins with a promise, unconditional and unmerited with God, seeking us first before we even are aware of him. And the fulfillment of the promise in Jesus Christ for our salvation, our hope and our future. God does call ordinary people. Let's look now at the call itself. Well, to do this, we need to think about what God didn't call Abraham to do. God didn't call Abraham to enter the ministry or to begin a new church. What did God call him to do? To follow me. This is the only directive that God gave. Follow me. The rest of God's call to Abraham was a promise. What God would do for him, not what God expected Abraham to do for him. All that was required of Abraham was to gather his family together in faith and to follow God to the place where God would lead him to. And in the same way, the invitation is given to each of us to follow God to where he wants to lead us. He has his plans for each of us if we follow him in faith. Each one of us as Christians have been called. We've been called to be the children of God. We are called to be brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We are called to claim God's promise of love, eternal life, forgiveness, and wholeness for ourselves. We are called to have a living relationship with the living God. And just as God's call to Abraham led him to travel on a journey that covered unfamiliar and new territory for him, we too are called to begin a life that is different from our past. We too are called to begin a journey that will be unfamiliar to us, to step out in faith as Abraham stepped out in faith. There is no promise that following God will be easy. How hard it must have been for Abraham to follow God, not knowing what he might encounter. But remember, God's promise was ever before him. I will bless you, and through you I will bless the world. So God wasn't going to leave Abraham alone on this journey. He wasn't going to leave him up the creek without a paddle. He was going to be with him every step of the way. God was calling Abraham to have a relationship with him. He was saying, Abraham, come to me. I want a relationship with you. And he's saying exactly the same to you and me today. David, Jane, John, Margaret, just substitute your name there. Because God is calling you and me to follow him in faith. God does call ordinary people. Have you stopped to wonder why it was that God chose Abraham? What did God see in him? What was it about him? He didn't come from a devout family that was faithful to God. His parents were in fact pagans. They worshipped idols. Abraham was just an ordinary person living an ordinary life. He wasn't really anything, anybody special or different. So what made him different and noteworthy? That was the action of God in his life. What made Abraham different was that God called and Abraham responded because he believed in those promises of God. God called and Abraham responded. So as Abraham stood in Canaan, looking as far as the eye can see, God told him, "I will give this land to your descendants." How did he respond? He built an altar and he worshipped God. He worshipped the one true God. He worshipped his God. And he continued to worship him because his God was worthy of his worship. And as he travelled on the journey that the Lord was taking him on, he continued to worship at every opportunity. From where he was, Abraham moved south, and at the spot of Bethel, he built another altar to God there. His life was one of worship to his God, for his goodness to him and to the people right there and then, but also for God's promises for their future. Through Abraham's continued worship of God, another important element of his relationship comes to light. He became an example to other people. There was no question as to who he followed. Everyone he encountered in his journeys knew that he followed God, and everyone knew how important his relationship with God was to him. Abraham was just an ordinary person, the same as you and me. He didn't do anything spectacular. In fact, before God entered his life, we don't really hear anything much about him. What made him a well-known individual was that God was active in his life, and that he responded in faith and in worship to God. And his relationship with God was visible to the world. So God does, can and will call ordinary people. And yet that call changed the life of one man so much that he has come to be known as the father of a nation. He was an ordinary man who was very special to God. And no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter what we might accomplish or fail to accomplish in our lives, we are special in the eyes of God. Just remember that. We are special in the eyes of God. And he is calling us today, just as he called Abraham so long ago, because our God wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. Amen.